And welcome back. We'll have our discussion on arch ground improvements in just a moment, but first, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. Two separate lawsuits were filed today in Jefferson City, challenging Missouri officials for failing to disclose information about the drugs it uses in lethal injections. The Associated Press and four other news organizations filed one lawsuit. Chris McDaniel, a reporter for St. Louis Public Radio, is part of a second lawsuit, along with the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press and the American Civil Liberties Union. Fast food workers nationwide are striking today. They're demanding a wage hike to $15 an hour and the right to unionize without retaliation. And a broad coalition of groups is adding pressure to the Illinois Department of Transportation to put a high-speed rail station in East St. Louis. United Congregations of Metro East, as well as the City of East St. Louis and St. Clair County, are presenting a petition of more than 3,000 signatures to IDOT to ask for that station. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Vice President Joe Biden was in St. Louis on something of an information and inspection tour this week. Accompanied by Interior Secretary Sally Jewell, the Vice President came to see how the Gateway Arch Improvement Project is going. In comments cut short by rain, he said he liked what he saw, not only from the progress of the work, but also with the effectiveness of the public-private partnership. Joining me in studio with an update on the improvements is Ryan McClure, the Communications Director for the City Arch River 2015 Foundation, the organization shepherding the project. Ryan, nice to see you. Thanks for being
with
us.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me on, Don.
Bring us up to speed as quickly as you can as to exactly where we are at this point.
Sure, be happy to. So the important thing is we're under construction right now. The roadway work downtown that's going to lead to the park over the highway is fully underway right now. I'm sure anybody driving downtown has noticed. The riverfront is also under construction. We're making great progress there. And you can see all of that construction progress on our website. We've got a lot of webcams up. The national park grounds, so the actual arch grounds, will go under construction this summer. And every component of this entire project will be under construction by the end of the year.
There is a little disruption now for obvious reasons with what's going on. Mm-hmm. How about on the arch grounds themselves? Will visitors find themselves inconvenienced at all?
Well, I mean, the important thing to know here is that arch will stay open during construction. The National Park Service and Bi-State, who runs the trams, they're working very hard to make sure that there's a good visitor experience there during construction. So we want to make sure that everyone knows that the arch is open. And it's while the experience will be different and you need to learn new ways to get there, and we do understand that's inconvenient, we want people to come down and experience this transformation on the arch grounds because we really haven't seen something like this since the arch was completed in 1965. I mean, this is a pretty massive transformation. So
the year 2015 is a part of your organization's title, and that reflects a certain timetable pressure. Is the timetable being met?
Well, so the timetable has changed a little bit. I mean, there's still going to be a lot of things done by the Arch's 50th anniversary, which is October 28th, 2015. However, there are some elements that will not be completed until 2016. For example, the new museum experience won't open until 2016, and some of the hardscape and tree planting will last into 2016. But we're still confident that a lot of things are going to be done by that date.
How important was the visit of Vice President Biden this week?
Well, I mean, I think, Don, it really just shows the national importance of this project. A lot of people are watching this as an example of how public-private partnerships can work in improving our urban parks, our national parks, and infrastructure. Having Vice President Biden here and Secretary Jewell just showed that, you know, we have something to be very proud of here in St. Louis. We're doing something unique that people around the country in very high positions are watching.
We put a lot of emphasis on the public-private partnership during his somewhat brief remarks because of the rain. But let's listen to what he had to say about that.
It's always been visionaries that have led this country, and it's always been, quite frankly, the federal government has never done it itself. We've never built all of this. What we've always been able to do is help be part of the vision, provide seed money, and to attract the kinds of investment that are needed to complete these projects.
Well, that's such an important part of this project, getting everybody involved. And you've really done remarkably well in raising the private money that's necessary to keep this thing going.
Well, we're very excited and grateful for the private support that we've received so far. I mean, $178 million raised to date to meet our $250 million private goal. So we've launched our campaign to the public now to help meet the rest of that goal. But you know what Vice President Biden said was very accurate in terms of this project of you know the federal Tiger Grant really kind of kickstarting things for us, and then you know that really started things moving, and then the federal investment and then state investment. And then there's a large local investment, obviously, with Proposition P voters in St. Louis County and St. Louis City approving that sales tax to help improve the arch grounds, but also local parks and regional parks. And then the majority of the funding then comes from private sources.
But the private money is specifically earmarked for certain things, is it not?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, a lot of private money goes into the museum, which is the largest component cost of the project. So you'll see a bulk of private money going there, but there is private money going in other places. But a lot of it does go to the museum.
You know, going back to the Biden visit, I can't resist playing this because politics rears its head in just about anything these days. And I want to play a little clip. He couldn't resist taking a poke at the opposition party in Washington.
There are now those in Congress and in other parts of this country who say we can't afford to make these kind of investments. We can't afford to be rebuilding our infrastructure. But I think that the vast majority of American people agree that every generation of leadership in this country has understood that the infrastructure is the back upon which this great nation has been built.
Well, that's Vice President Joe Biden speaking earlier this week downtown. With me in studio is Ryan McClure, who was with the City Arch River 2015 Foundation talking about the project. I saw some figures that really stunned me with regard to the potential economic impact of what's going on down there now.
Right.
One of the things I saw is, well, I'll let you say it because you probably wrote it. and that has to deal with the impact of just a couple of days of visitors extending their stay in St. Louis is equivalent to a Cardinal baseball season.
That's absolutely right, Don. You know, every part of this project is really geared towards raising the visitor numbers at the Arch and encouraging people that come down to the Arch to stay longer there at the park, but not just the park, but in the region. You know, unfortunately, the Arch Grounds has lost a lot of visitors over the last few years. So from 95 to 2005, we averaged 3.3 million visitors a year. Since then, we're averaging about 2.3 million. So we've lost about a million visitors. So these improvements we know will at least bring visitorship back up to where it used to be. And when those visitors stay a half day longer, you get the equivalent of one additional Cardinals baseball season each year. And that's something we in St. Louis really can all understand that impact.
You're talking serious money. The Cardinals get over 3 million, but the Arch doesn't quite get there.
Not quite.
A lot of the attention has gone to what a lot of people are commonly called the lid, mm-hmm. Joining downtown with the Arch Grounds. But in just focusing on that, what are people missing that's going on or that will be there once all of this is completed?
Sure. So in addition to that park over the highway that will, you know, for the first time in the Arch's history, physically connect our city symbol to the city itself. In addition to that, you're going to have this great new museum experience that's going to be just completely different. I mean, the museum hasn't been updated much since 1976. And so you'll have new exhibits that tell the story of not just westward expansion, but the city of St. Louis in new, interactive, engaging ways. You'll have much greater accessibility around the grounds. Right now, it's littered with barriers to access for people with mobility issues or young families. You'll have an activated riverfront with lots of people and activity that used to be there that isn't there now. We're going to be able to bring that back. You're going to have, once the garage comes down on the north end, you're going to eliminate that physical and psychological barrier between the neighborhoods that surround the arch and the arch grounds. So the park over the highway gets a lot of attention, but there's so much more going on.
Where are people going to park when the garage comes down?
That's a great question, and that is a question that we get quite a bit, and we know that people are concerned about that. So it's important to remember that through this renovation, the arch entrance gets reoriented to the west side of the park. So people will enter the museum and the tram loading areas right where Northbound Memorial sits today. So there's a lot of underutilized parking facilities, both surface and garages that exist right there that we're going to partner with to provide safe, convenient, and affordable parking for arch visitors. And that's about the same amount of time, the same length of walk that it takes to get to the new entrance as it does from the existing garage to the north entrance.
You mentioned the tram. Elaborate on that.
So the tram, we're not doing much with the tram through this project. Bi-State Development Agency that runs the trams is actually, they're doing some updates to the trams, redoing the motor generator sets there, replacing them. So, they'll get a facelift, but the loading zones and how you get to the trams, you're kind of reorienting how people get there. So you'll enter through that west entrance, you'll go through the museum, and then you'd be at the tram areas.
And they will take the tram will take you where?
The tram, well, the, I'm talking about the tram that goes to the top of the arch.
Right. Yeah, so. Because there was some discussion early on, as I recall, about having a gondola of some sort or some sort of link with East St. Louis.
Right.
And I guess those plans are never materialized, really.
Well, it's not that they didn't materialize. It's that, funding and different things were on the Missouri side of the project were really kind of moving faster, and we just decided that we needed to put our focus there and get that done first. And then eventually we do want to move on to the Illinois side. It was always Arrow Saarinen's dream to have a park experience on both sides of the river. So we want to see that happen. The tram could be part of the gondola aerial tram could be part of that. We just have to see where we are once the Missouri side is done, revisit the design, and see what makes sense at that point.
I would think that there would be a lot of interest in, for lack of a better expression, of dressing up the view on the east side, simply because it is not the kind of destination you go to look and see what's there, because there's not very much there.
Well, and part of this, part of the original design was to – or the winning design from the design competition in 2010 was to utilize Malcolm Martin Park, which is right there across the river. Beautiful park run by Metro East Parks and Recreation Department. And the Gateway Geyser is over there too. A lot of people don't realize that that's was designed to be part of the arch experience. It shoots 630 feet in the air on a not-so-windy day. So there is interest in definitely kind of making that experience part of everything. And as you say, dressing things up.
Yeah, the grain elevator is not a tourist attraction for people on the riverfront.
Right, but such an important part of this being a working riverfront. I mean, the cargo plant there is very important to the Mississippi River in a working order, and there's possibly some aesthetic things that can be done there to make that kind of a pleasing experience.
Sure, I'm sure everybody would like to see all the improvements that are possible, obviously on both sides of the river. What about places to eat? There was some discussion early on about having restaurants that would make it a nice destination, nicer destination.
Sure. So, one of the things we're working on is that there's not a lot of food options when you go on the arch grounds right now, including when you go into the visitor center and the museum. What we're working on right now and hope to implement is sort of like a cafe there, that like a grab and go that you can get sandwiches and eat lunch while you're there. you know, we're looking at Keener. I don't know that design is still kind of being perfected, but there's definitely going to be more amenities and food options and drink options for people.
And of course, yeah. once you have the access to downtown St. Louis mm-hmm. without having to cross a highway, you're right in the neck of the woods where there are a lot of options for eating and other things.
That's absolutely right. And you know, if something's not included in our project, it doesn't mean that it couldn't happen in conjunction around it. You know, one of the 10 design goals of this project is to spur other development around the Arch grounds and be a catalyst. Mm-hmm. And you're already seeing things like that happen. You know, moving to the Philip Johnson building, the old Gin America building, they had said that one of the reasons that they're doing that is the City Arch River project. And you see a couple of other things happening like that already. And I think once more things become solid, construction continues and the project is finished, you're going to see more development catalyzed by this.
Have there been any things unforeseen that have occurred, obstacles that have either slowed you down or caused any kind of realignment of plans?
Well, you know, this with a project this big and so many partners involved, you're bound to hit some speed bumps, I guess I would call them. But the beautiful thing is everybody's working together for a common goal of enhancing the Arch experience here for everyone, and we've overcome those, you know. So we've gotten our agreements in place now that we need. We're moving forward. So there have definitely been speed bumps along the way, but it's nothing. I mean, we're on our way. We're under construction. We'll be under construction on everything by the end of the year.
What's going to be down there for kids?
So there's going to be a lot down there for kids. For example, you know, starting with the museum experience, that's going to be very engaging to children. You're going to have a children's explorer's garden on the North Gateway where the garage is today that's specifically built and sized for children. You're going to have possibly a playground on Keener Plaza. You know, having fun things for kids and families to do is definitely an important part of this.
Concerts.
Yeah, concerts. You could have concerts on the riverfront. You could have concerts in this new North Gateway where the garage is now. I mean, getting rid of this huge parking garage is just such a great opportunity where we're going to have like a natural amphitheater that's built into that space in addition to the Children's Explorer's Garden and elevated pathway. You'll have an area for concerts. It's just, like I said, a natural seating area.
Well, it's really something for all of us to look forward to. Very, very quickly, if you can tell me how you're going to go about raising the rest of that private money. Any particular plan in place?
Sure. So, you know, we've got a lot of different ways of going about that. And, you know, we've got a leadership committee that's leading the public phase of the campaign, George and Melissa Paz. And, you know, in the next couple of weeks, actually, people are going to start seeing advertising that's rolling out. Just to try and build awareness about the projects, make sure people know what's going on. You'll see some online fundraising, just a lot of different avenues to try and raise that remaining amount.
In other words, stay tuned.
Yes.
Stay tuned. That's Ryan McClure, the Communications Director for City Arch River 2015 Foundation. Ryan, thanks so much for being with us and giving us this update.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting, needless to say. We're about to say goodbye, but before we do so, we'd just like to acknowledge an anniversary for Mary Edwards, a longtime producer of this program. She has just celebrated, perhaps a better word is observed, her 40th anniversary with St. Louis Public Radio. Congratulations to Mary for the milestone. You, the audience, should know that Mary, in her dedication to her job, has worked late, even slept in her office, and worked countless weekends and lost some vacation time for working too hard too long. Congratulations to Mary Edwards. Now, Mary, get back to work. Tomorrow, join Steve Potter for Cityscape, and he'll talk about Shakespeare Festival St. Louis's production of Henry IV and Henry V, and he'll take a look at the newly renovated Sun Theater. He'll also talk with St. Louis Public Radio arts and culture reporter Nancy Fowler about her new series on game changers in the arts in St. Louis. And we'll remember Circus Flora founder David Balding. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll take a look at what was and wasn't accomplished during the current session of the Missouri State Legislature. It ends tomorrow. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. Produced this program by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, with assistance from Camille Phillips, Aaron Dorr, Amanda Hunningfort, and Spencer Reed. Executive producer is Robert Peterson. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.